Excuse me while I put my old-fashioned glasses on. I went to my family down in Devon last week and they all laughed at me. They said, I've got to get some new glasses because these are old-fashioned. Anyway, they work. That's the main thing. Daniel chapter 9 is where we got to tonight. And I don't know what you think about this guy, Daniel. What do you think about him? What are your impressions of him? I've come to put this guy on a bit of a pedestal, actually. I admire this guy tremendously. The more I've read and the more I've studied, I've just become so impressed by him. Impressed by two things, really. Firstly, his spirituality. It's a guy who has visions and dreams. A guy who meets angels. Remarkable man, remarkable story. A guy who knew what it was to pray, and we'll be thinking about that tonight. A man who knew his Bible. But not only that, I'm also impressed by his just earthy effectiveness. The way he got things done. The way he was able to deal with tyrants. The way he was able to rise in government to be a key man in the Babylonian economy. And I'm impressed by that too. We saw in chapter 1 how he started life by resolving not to defile himself. He resolved, that, remember that word, resolved. He determined, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to stick up for the one true God. We saw in chapters 2 and 4 how he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. How God had gifted him to understand dreams and visions, but he used those gifts. He used them carefully and wisely. We saw in chapter 5 how he was just so courageous. Remember that guy Belshazzar, the corrupt despot. And in that very famous scene where the writing is on the wall, the hand on the wall, and how he confronted Belshazzar, risked his own life. So he's quite a character, isn't he? He was prepared to stand alone. That's another thing I admire about him. He's prepared to be the only person who would stand up for the true and living God. I don't know whether you've had an experience where you've had to stand alone. One of my earliest memories, I guess it was child abuse really, was when I was asked, or I was chosen by my Sunday school to represent the Sunday school at a Sunday school festival. I don't know whether you have these where you perhaps grew up, but where I grew up in Torquay, all the Sunday schools would have like a competition, an annual competition, and they'd pick youngsters like me to go and stand in the town hall in front of a great congregation and have to do things. And I remember being asked to do a recitation, and it was so painful. It's ingrained on my memory now. My Dog by Emily Lewis. And I was about 6 years old. I can't remember all of it, but a spotty dog, a shaggy dog or something. It was very, very twee, you know. And I was so small and on this huge stage with all these people looking at me. And somehow I managed to stumble through the words. But I was alone. I felt really alone. And not a pleasant experience. Daniel stood alone throughout his life, year after year, maybe with just a few friends. He stood alone for the one true God. And I'd like to be like him. I really admire this man so much. I'd like to be a Daniel. I probably fall far short, but in my home situation, my work situation, my church situation, I'd like to be a Daniel. And the UK... this country, we need Daniels, don't we? Whether in government, in industry, commerce, education, we need people who will stand and not be afraid to stand for God. Question is, how do you become a Daniel? How do you become this spiritual giant? Well, tonight, chapter 9, I think, gives us an insight. Perhaps in how to be a Daniel. The chapter is essentially about a prayer of confession and then another vision. But I want to take a slightly different angle on it, and I want to kind of use this chapter to consider some of the characteristics of a man, or indeed a woman, of God. So let's read chapter 9 of Daniel. It's on page 894 in the church Bibles, if anyone needs one. Everyone okay? Right, chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was a Mede by descendant, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the law, the Lord our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight, about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. No one understands this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there'll be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So, that's our reading. We have three characteristics of a man or a woman of God, which I want to draw from this. First is Daniel reads his Bible and was convinced of its authority. Second, Daniel knew the secret of prayer. I don't want to tell you that. And put it into action. And thirdly, Daniel was open to revelation beyond his understanding. So the first of these is Daniel read his Bible. At this point in his life, he's around 68 years old, we think. 68, 70 years old. He's certainly not a young man. And that is just worth noting, isn't it? Getting towards the end of his life, and he's still hungry for the Word of God. His Bible actually would have been a collection of scrolls. It wouldn't have been a book like we've got. But he was reading his scrolls. He's reading the book of Jeremiah. I don't know, when I'm that sort of age, I might be tempted just to kind of take it a bit easy. My life's work will be done. Let's slow down a bit, take it easy. Let's retire and relax. But not Daniel. Now, he's keen to read, to learn. And that's again surprising, because this is a man who's experienced visions and dreams. A guy who's lived on the spiritual heights, and yet he still wants to read these scrolls. He still wants to understand. We don't know why he was reading, whether he's reading for his own instruction or for guidance or whatever, we don't know. But he was reading in the book of Jeremiah. And he's clearly familiar, though, with all the books, all the scrolls. It's not just Jeremiah he knows. In the prayer we'll come onto in a moment, 10 times... he refers to the law, or the covenant, or the law of Moses, or truth. He's familiar with his Bible. But he's also convinced of its authority. It's a key phrase. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah. And I think that phrase, according to the word of the Lord, is not just there to kind of fill up some gaps, to kind of make the chapter a bit longer. It's there for a purpose. And when we see kind of little phrases like this, we need to ask ourselves why. And what I understand from that is that Daniel knows how crucial it is to understand that this is God-given, God-breathed, God-inspired scripture coming from Jeremiah. For him, this is God's word to him and to the Jews. Again, that could be quite surprising. Daniel probably knew Jeremiah as a young man. Back in Jerusalem, Daniel would have been a prince. Jeremiah was the leading prophet, ministering at the time when Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem. Daniel would have probably known him personally. And yet he recognizes that Jeremiah spoke words from God, words of truth. And it's because he recognized the authority of Jeremiah's writings that he was then compelled to pray. This wasn't just some interesting literature, of which there was much in Babylon. This wasn't just any other old book. This was God's word. In a sense, Daniel was an evangelical. Evangelical meaning that he had a high view of God's word. He regarded God's word as his sole authority. I came across in Christianity magazine, a survey of Methodist ministers in the UK. And this is not a dig at the Methodists, incidentally. This was published in Christianity magazine, and it was a survey called British Methodism, What Circuit Ministers Really Think. So this is what the ministers of the Methodist congregations around the UK think. And 1,300 is quite a considerable proportion, I would think. 66%, that's two-thirds, do not believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Two-thirds do not believe that this book here is God's infallible Word, but have watered it down to one degree or another. And of course that's got implications. If you move away from this rock of believing this is God's infallible Word, then other